branding, experience, conversation, promotion, powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the internet show all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power to the small business.
And hey, it's episode number 36 of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business. Mitch Joel is the guest today. He is author of the newly released book, Six Pixels of Separation. Mitch is a well-known marketer in the online space. Excellent podcast, also called Six Pixels of Separation. It's a lengthy conversation, but well worth it. Remember, show notes and links posted on the blog at themarketingspotblog.com. Join me on the other side for some comments. Let's dive in and talk to Mitch Joel. And we go to the Skype line where I'm very excited to have as a guest on the podcast, Mitch Joel. He is author of the future best-selling book, I'm certain, Six Pixels of Separation. Mitch, hey, welcome to the big show.
Hey, Jay, thank you so much for having me.
Well, you've got the big book coming out, released on September 7th, Six Pixels of Separation. Everyone's connected. Connect your business to everyone. Just start off by giving us maybe the big idea of the book.
So the sort of core idea that started off the book was that I felt I was sort of seeing myself, and through all of these things that are happening online, the personal brand really rise. Like, suddenly you had individuals who had market clout that was comparable to many semi-big or large corporations, all with very, you know, people doing this on a very limited budget. And I sort of started writing a book in that game space. And as I was writing it, I realized, you know, as interesting as that was for me, what became even more apparent is how many businesses were still really on the fence about this whole thing. You know, it was one of those things where we all sit in these meetings where people are like, you know, what are we doing on Facebook and what are we doing on Twitter and what are we doing on YouTube? And I thought I could write a book that answers not the what are you doing on Facebook, but why. Why you should be on Facebook, why you should be on Twitter, and why you should be engaged in these channels. And in sort of doing my little bit of exploration around it, what I realized is that really there wasn't a business book written in business language about the many media shifts that have taken place and what the implications are on business and if there's money to be made in it. And that sort of became a little bit of my adventure. And so for people who know me, my sort of phrasing for this is that Six Pixels of Separation, the book, is the prelude to the blog. And it's sort of one of those things where I didn't want to be in a position where I was writing a book for the people who already follow the blog, or I was writing a book for people who listen to my podcast or follow me on Twitter. I wanted to write a book for those who weren't. And it was almost like a dear fill in the blank. This is sort of what's going on in the space, and I believe that there's a tremendous amount of money to be made in it. And I sort of do put it on myself, which I've never done in all my years of sort of being out there and being connected to people, which is, you know, used, you know, as my sort of my own story as the sort of catalyst for, obviously this works and you can make a lot of money.
So you went to tackle the why question, which I think is a very important question, because you hear a lot of the social media evangelists and the new media evangelists out there saying, oh, get on, everybody's got to be on, everybody's got to be on the internet, everybody's got to be in social media. So you answered the why question in this book. Give us the answer then. Why? Why do we need to be connected to everyone?
So, well, I think one of the foundings that was sort of became very obvious is it's not a question of why we want to be connected. We all are connected. And I think that was one of the sort of first premises that businesses have yet to really embrace, this idea that all of us are intrinsically connected. And that ties into the title of the book, where, you know, it's a play off of the idea of 6 degrees of separation, that any one person in the world is connected to anyone else through less than 6 degrees, also known as the small world theory. In a world that we have now, through Google, through Microsoft Bing, through Yahoo, through Facebook, through Twitter, we're all connected, right? Like, you didn't need my publisher or manager or an agent to connect to Mitch Joel to talk about the book. You just sent me a tweet, right? You just Googled it, or you just, whatever it might be. And we have to understand as business owners that in a world like that, it's not a question of all bets are off, but the real fundamentals of business then begin to shift. And so that's the sort of why, in terms of why you engage. But the real why for a business is personal, and I can't answer that question. You have to be able to sit in a room with your team and talk about why. Like, what does our brand stand for? Why do people buy from us? Why do they love us? Why do they tell other people about us? And then you can sort of say, so, you know, why are these channels happening, and why aren't we involved, and should we be involved? And again, in looking at it, I sort of looked back on myself and realized, you know, about 2002, I was sitting here in Montreal with two business partners and one employee thinking, like, how am I going to get places like Marketing Magazine and Ad Age to write about us? And I was, my background was music journalism, so I published magazines. And I knew a lot about, you know, writing and stuff like that. And I called some of these trade papers that we all know so well, and they were like, "Who's Mitch Joel? Who are you?" And, you know, rightfully so. I was nobody, you know, a legend in my own mind, as it were. And so I sort of realized at that moment, I don't need their permission to publish. There are platforms like blogging and podcasting that I can just do if I want to share how we think as Twist Image, which is my agency. And, you know, from 2003, when we started blogging, you know, fast forward to where we are today, we're 80 plus employees with offices in Toronto, Montreal. We work with some of the biggest brands in the world. You know, the book deal happened, speakers bureaus were represented by some of the biggest speaking bureaus in the world. And, you know, it's a multi-million dollar company that I really built and still built off of that one platform, which was, you know, like I like to call it, my stupid blog. But that's really what it was. And if, you know, I know, Jay, you've been following the blog and you know, we've been connected through it, but I don't sell on my blog. It's not about saying, you know, buy Twist Images digital marketing services. Like, never, ever, ever. I'm creating tremendous amounts of value for a community in hopes that the community gets smarter and better. And, you know, yeah, if someone thinks about hiring a digital marketing agency of record, I'm hopeful they'll think of Twist Image. And so it really became this thing where it was sort of weird because as a Canadian, by birth, I guess, that people sort of hear me speak and they don't think I'm Canadian at all, but this is where I live and this is where I'm born. We don't really self-promote all that well up here. We're very quiet. We're the shy, quiet neighbors to the north, right? And so it was very sort of strange for me to sit back and say, you know, here we are sort of battling about who's been successful in this channel. And the reality is that even us, and you know, there are tons of other examples of us in the books, not just about me, obviously, but it really was the catalyst where, you know, it's not that I'm saying something because I don't believe it. This is real. I mean, this is a very, very real thing. And strategically, the why was us figuring out that, you know, me being a writer and passionate about writing, me being somebody who used to do college radio and as a music journalist interviewed thousands of artists, I sort of enjoyed writing and I enjoyed the audio aspect of it. I enjoy speaking and having conversations with people. And if I can bring that together and connect it to the business, which was really obvious, and then share content like, you know, great interviews with people like, you know, the analytics evangelist Avinash Kaushik and all this sort of stuff, well, suddenly, you know, I'm just providing tremendous value to the community and building a business at the same time. It made so much sense to me. I believe in a world where you can publish like this, audio, images, text, video, you gotta have somebody at your company's passionate about one of those media channels, and then has the ability to access to people, places, products, services, that they can share it and tell their story in a human way with the world, because that's what connects the real interactions between real human beings. And that's fundamentally what someone who's buying from anybody wants. They want a real connection with someone.
Well, let's take your example then, because you said you started, when did you start blogging and getting on? Was it 2002 or 2003?
Yeah, I'd say around then. Yeah, I don't know the exact time, but it was somewhere in and around there.
Okay, you, by definition, would probably be an early adopter to all this stuff. I didn't start blogging until 2007. And so you've got these businesses now looking at all this new media and said, well, sure, Mitch, you jumped on early in the bandwagon. Is your example and the other case studies that you cite in your book, are they still applicable to me? Can I duplicate that type of success?
It's such a great question because, you know, I'm reminded, you always sort of flash back to your own little stupidities in life, right? And I remember driving down from Montreal to Boston for a 5-hour drive to attend the first PodCamp Boston. And I just started podcasting and I got there and there were people who had hundreds of episodes already and people who had literally given up podcasting at that point. I said, audio podcasting, done. And I was sitting there going like, wow, look how late I am to that part. You fast forward now, I think I'm about 170 episodes in and I do it weekly. And I had that exact same feeling. And what we realize is that it is never too late because it's not a question of being the first in or the last in. It's a question of people providing and giving tremendous value and creating content that adds value. There are some blogs that were started in the past 6 months that are way more popular than mine will ever be, because of simply what it's doing and how it's adding value. There are people who are going to join Twitter today and be that much more successful with it. And so I don't think it's a question of when you join. I think it's a question of how you join and sort of what you're going to do that's different, that's unique. And the amazing thing about that is any way you tell your story, the humanization of it from your end and the fact that the platforms are, again, audio, video, text, images, makes it almost unique in and of itself. So this isn't one of those scenarios where you could take the top 10 hottest digital marketing agencies, remove the logos, throw all the websites up into the air, they all fall, and wherever the other logos land, they're all saying the same thing and they all do the same thing. You know, this isn't industry jargon. This is about creating those real connections. And I think what it does is it actually creates a platform where we as marketers can humanize the actual experience. When you humanize things, you create relationships. When you create relationships, you sort of build on those and grow those, and those actually do factually convert to ROI. So, you know what, some of the stories are even more interesting to me because they're a little bit older. Some of the stories are definitely a lot newer. What I wanted to do is not give supposition and guessing. I didn't want it to be Mitch Joel saying, you really should start a blog, because there's like so many of those. What I wanted it to be is this idea that people will say blogging is dead. Fine. Here's what I think. The ability for you, Jay, to have a thought and be able to publish that thought instantly to the world in any platform you desire, again, text, images, audio, video, and publish that immediately is brand spanking new. And I think we sort of all get caught up in the little fishbowl of people on Twitter who you're following, whatever. This ability is huge. I'm a 38-year-old guy who remembers distinctly that every 4 weeks I would walk into the magazine store and be so depressed that a new issue of either Rolling Stone or Wired magazine wasn't out yet. I had to wait another week or another 2 weeks, whatever it might be. And suddenly, you go to Wired.com or RollingStone.com, and it's almost live. Anything that's happening is happening live. There's community, there's news, there's content. Yeah. You almost take it for granted. Like, that is a crazy idea. That is weird and as specific as your little geeky niche might be. And it could be selling pens. It could be being interested in tech or being into music. Is that you can literally have a live feed of what's going on in your industry right now. This is an amazing thing that I think it's easy to say, isn't that old? Isn't that, this is all brand new. And the way I know it's new, being a marketer, is that no one's really figured out a way to make advertising work in it. So I know it's new. We still can't figure that out.
Well, you've been answering a lot of the why questions, but in the process, you've mentioned already a lot of platforms. You got blogging, podcasting, you mentioned Twitter there, there's Facebook. I mean, there's so much out there. And the time commitment can just be amazing in trying to connect with everybody. So talk a little bit about this time commitment. I mean, how do we pick and choose, what we should do? What's the best way for us to get involved in all this new stuff?
It's a great question. And, the answer is always the sort of standard, get yourself Google Reader and then lock everything into one centralized place, which I talk a lot about in the book. But I'll sort of steal my answer from Gary Vaynerchuk, who is a sort of a well-known internet celebrity guy who has a little video podcast called Wine Library TV that's actually really popular. The little part was a joke. He's got hundreds of thousands of followers. He built up his sort of, I think he's based in New Jersey. He had a small alcohol liquor store, and he's built it up to like a $40 million plus business by being present online. And someone also asked him, where do you find the time? Now, he's spending way more time online than I think even I am. He said he spends about 2.5 hours a day just on Twitter search. But his point was really powerful. And what he said is, as a CEO of somebody who's selling alcohol and spirits and all this stuff, when was it not my job to pay attention to either my customers and what they're asking or looking for new business? And I think that that's really the thing that we all have to embrace is people look at these online channels and think of it like TV or radio. In fact, I get asked that a lot. They say, do you think the internet's going to surpass TV in terms of usage? And I actually, my sort of little cute answer lately has been, I think we're benchmarking it against the wrong thing. I think we should be benchmarking the internet against electricity and not a media channel, because it literally is everywhere and it connects all of us in a different way. And I think the question to flip back to you, Jay, listeners need to think about more is, when was it not your business to be highly engaged in what people are either saying about your business, your competitors, or potentially looking for it? This is a sales funnel unlike any other in the world.
Maybe I should go back and say, okay, you've given me lots of reasons why we can do it, and it can be for any size. Maybe let's look at it from why should we not use this? What are some reasons against using all this stuff that you would say, maybe that's not for you after all?
I think it's specific to industry, and I think what happens is after a couple of days of lurking and listening and putting in, your brands, your management team, your competitors, the industry you serve, et cetera, you can see what types of conversations there are or aren't. And there's always a sort of standard thing like, if you sell toilet paper, maybe is there a conversation or community around it? And the answer is there probably isn't. Now, that all being said is, are there communities around people interested in cleaning and cleaning products? There might be. Is it worthwhile to open up your website so that people can rate and comment on your products and services, essentially a B2B platform by which your customers can comment on your quality, service, price, speed, etc. Absolutely. Is there ways to create more pictures, images, or pieces of content that will help your customers buy from you or sell from you or pass on? Absolutely. And so we tend to think of social media as like either creating that blog or being on Twitter. And my point is that there are many social aspects of opening up content, sharing it, or creating a platform where people can get more that I think would shock and amaze many, many people. The thing with this whole thing is that the barriers, the cost of doing it is next to nothing compared to what we used to put out in terms of marketing materials and stuff. So, you know, I'm not trying to be evasive about your question. I'm simply trying to be very pragmatic about the fact that I really haven't come across an industry where I thought, you know, there's nothing here for them in terms of adding a more social concept to what they're doing.
Well, where does this leave all the traditional media and all the traditional way of doing things in marketing? I mean, if you're a local business, I mean, that's what you grew up on. That's what you're used to doing. You know, I put my ad in the paper. You know, where does this leave all the traditional disciplines in marketing? Should we sweep them aside and just adopt this new media approach now?
Absolutely, 100% not.
I thought you were going the other way there.
and you know what? I'll tell you something. One of my big things, again, I'm not one of those guys who just has a blog and doesn't have a lot of experience in this space, and I sort of use it. I got all this popularity because of the reverent things I say. I understand that this sort of limited scope of my audience is because I'm probably not like that. I'm very pragmatic and sort of straightforward. The reason is I've been in the marketing business since the late 80s and highly, highly connected to it. And what I've seen time and time again is people come in and say, why would you waste money on TV advertising? It's all about blogging or podcasting or Second Life or Twitter or go on and on and on through the whole sort of thing. And what I believe, and it's something I bring forward a lot when I speak, especially in the book, is my concept of everything is with, not instead of. And so my sort of first red light for a new media agency that's brought into a major brand is when they say, you know, we're here to show you how to be more effective with your dollars and stop doing all that old stuff and start doing all this new stuff. Whereas I think the agencies, and by the way, I think you should kick those agencies outside right away. The agencies I think you should be sticking around with are the ones who come and say, listen, yes, we are new media. Yes, we are internet, mobile, social media, whatever you want to call us. But I believe you've been this successful to date for a reason. I'd like to look at what you're doing successfully, see how digital and these new channels, the social channels, can really complement that and add tremendous amounts of value. And then what we can do is review everything and see, you know, it's almost like imagine like a big basin with a whole bunch of faucets and you're just trying to get the right temperature. And so you're going to turn one to be too hot, a little too cold here. And you got to sort of play around with those faucets until you get the right flow. And I think a lot of businesses get nervous because people come in and tell them, you got to stop doing all this and you got to start doing this. And I think that's a huge mistake. I believe that everything is with, not instead of. That being said, I think there are a lot of businesses starting out of the gates now who can ask a different question. And that's the real power of this book, I think, which is it's your ability to say, listen, if I didn't have any legacy of doing things and successful or not, what would be my sort of quickest, most efficient way as a small, medium-sized business owner to get ramped up? And I got to tell you, when you look at these channels, and you know this because you're highly engaged in them yourself, Jay, it's almost crazy to think that, man, if I could start my business today, I know now, you know, I'd be able to, it's amazing that a lot of these things are primarily free. You're right, it takes a lot of time. You got to put time in. But I mean, look, you're a business owner. That's what you've got. That's what you're here to do. You're here to put in the time to find the customers and clients and get engaged. But I got to tell you, I've never seen a hot lead pool quite like the internet in my entire life, where, again, it could be an impulse buy that you're selling to consumers at a B2C level. It could be a multi-year, long sales cycle B2B sale. And still, inevitably, there are people online researching, talking, collabing, sharing, exploring, engaging. And again, it's to our detriment to not be that highly engaged and present.
Within your last statement there, I think, is the rub, because you said, you know, if you were starting your business today, yeah, it'd be pretty easy to just say, okay, you know what, I'm gonna found my business on all this new media stuff. But there are a lot of people, you know, listening to this podcast who are going to read your book who've been in business for a long time, and they know they're familiar with the old way of doing things. And now there's this vast landscape of opportunity and choices out there. Give us a guideline, Mitch. How do we get started? You know, which direction do we go?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the sort of idea of like, you know, where do we start is a great question. It sort of ties into what we talked about earlier. People fall into a very ugly trap, and I call it the why not what trap, is people ask what. So they look at all this stuff and say, like, what should I be doing on Facebook and what should I be doing on Twitter? When the real question is why? I'm going to dig a bit down deep into it because that'll give me the first step. And the first step is defining the strategy. And so strategy is never based off of what. It's always based off of why. If you can answer why you should be engaged in these channels, the tactics that come out of that, the whats, are really, really easy. So my whole first thing is always develop a strategy. Literally, buy some people some pizza, their coworkers, friends, advisors, mentors, people you respect. Sit in a room and start talking about what is the value of our business today. Paying attention to and engaged in people connected online through community. What would that look like? How would that change? What would our business be like? Once you can really do the why part of it, the what becomes really easy. And so usually once you have your why and your strategy, it's tied into your business results, it's tied into ROI, it's tied into making money, you can at least start defining where you're willing to put your time and you know, hard effort into engaging it. Because it's not like an ad campaign where you buy it and it's over in a couple weeks. Once you decide you're going to listen and be active, it's sort of like, it's like opening the door to business. You know, open the door, close the door. You know, the door's open. Come on in. We're here to do business. We're here to engage. So once you've got the strategy down, I think figuring out the what is the challenging part. And again, it goes a little bit back to what we said earlier, which is who amongst us in this organization likes to have these types of communications? How are we most comfortable doing it? Are we better at pictures? Are we better with words? Are we better with audio? Are we better with video? And then what you need to really do is start saying, okay, now who else out there is doing this? You know, one of the easiest ways you can get engaged is to simply follow a bunch of really cool places that are relevant to you and add value there. It's funny how we become really selfish as people. It's like, I need my own blog, my own Twitter feed. And a lot of times you don't. A lot of times you can just add tremendous value to your industry's blog, to your industry's online community, whatever it might be, and be able to build up a name and brand for yourself just by being present there. Do I highly recommend, as you grow in popularity, to create space for your own? Absolutely, because that's what people want. They want to connect more and more to you. For me, it becomes a real business development tool. And it's funny for me to say that because I don't write a blog post or create a blog post or create a podcast with the mindset of, I hope someone buys from it. In fact, it's the last thing that I ask myself. But I know that by engaging people, connecting them, giving them a platform to share and for me to share, creates a sense of community, a very real sense of community, and I believe it to be a real community, where it's almost like that circle of trust. And so, again, the default is that if someone needs something from me, I'm there to give. And if I need something from somebody, as a community member, they're there to help. And we don't do it because it's about the money. We do it because we all believe in the community. And it may sound very sort of weird, artsy-fartsy, communist, social, whatever you want to call it, but I actually do believe this to be the way that business always was. You open up your doors, and you hope people come in, and you hope they come back because they believe in that store and that part of the community.
We're talking with Mitch Joel. He is president of Twist Image, a media company in Montreal. Mitch, the book is called 6 Pixels of Separation. Everyone is connected. Connect your business to everyone. If we buy this book and read it, what can we expect from it?
Yeah, to triple your profits. I'm just
Ooh, yeah. That's recorded right there, Mitch.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah, I do. Look, at the end of the day, I didn't want to write a how-to guide. I think there's some great dummies guides out there. I think there are some great people who've written some really great books on the sort of tactical stuff. That being said, there are a lot of tactics in the book. I wrote a book for a business person to be able to take this book, read it in a weekend, and say to themselves, okay, there are 3 things here that I could definitely pull out and definitely do in this book. And so, yeah, there's a reason why I wanted the cover to be cool and the title to be fun. Is I did want people jetting through an airport to look at that and go, you know what? On this flight, I want to understand the new ways that people are doing business, specifically through these online channels and what they mean. So fundamentally, I think the cool thing about the book is everyone's going to take something different out of it based off of where they're at. But at the end of it, there is well over a handful of things people could do right now. Once you have this book, you will, without question, do something. That something will, without question, lead you down a path that will make you way smarter about your business, the industry you serve, and the customers you keep. And if it doesn't do that, I will give you your money back.
Ooh, right here in recording, and I'm writing this down. Mitch Joel says buying this book will triple your profits.
Listen, you know what? I got to tell you, at the end of the day, it could be way more than that if that's what you want the outcome to be. I think the challenge with the book, and it really is a challenge, is that this is happening now. And it really is a question for me of which businesses are willing to stand up and say, you know what? Business has fundamentally changed. And I really do believe in my core that I've seen it.
All right. Well, the book is doing very well in advanced reviews on Amazon. It's already cracked some of the top 20 lists in some categories. It's not even released yet. You got to be happy about that.
You know, it's really exciting. I sort of keep going to Amazon going, this is crazy. And I hear it's almost like a gateway drug. It's like one of those you got to keep going back and keep going back to see. Listen, when you write a book, being a journalist for so many years, you know, writing a book is sort of like Moby Dick, right? It's like you got to go after the whale, and I've got, you know, a fork with some tartar sauce on it, and it's quite daunting and intimidating. And to be done and to have it, you know, being ready, I've had some emails from friends in the past couple of days that Amazon's already shipped it, so I know it's sort of on its way. I haven't even seen it yet. I'm really excited to see it. Is really, really, for me, gratifying. A good friend of mine, Julian Smith, who's one of the co-hosts of Media Hacks, one of my podcasts, and he also co-wrote the book with Chris Brogan called Trust Agents, said to me, you know, it must feel pretty good to be a published author now. And, you know, I got to tell you, being a new media guy, you'd think that who cares, but again, my background in journalism, well, it felt pretty good. No one had said that to me today. When he did, I felt like, wow, you know, it is sort of a proud thing to say and be, because in this world, first of all, we don't even know how long books are going to be around for, so it's pretty cool to be there.
Well, it's called 6 Pixels of Separation. It's released September 7th, and from what you're saying, you can order it and might already be being shipped right now from Amazon.
Absolutely.
Mitch, if people want to learn more about you and listen to your excellent podcast, of which I'm a subscriber, where can they go to find you online?
No worries. So the best place to find me is www.twistimage.com/blog, or you can find me in any social space at Mitch Joel, one word, all small caps, and that's Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, et cetera, et cetera.
Or just hit Google and type in Mitch Joel, right?
Absolutely.
Mitch, I appreciate it. Thanks, and best of luck with the book.
I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Apology for the echo with Mitch. It just couldn't be avoided because of Mitch's location when I called him on Skype. Don't forget the show notes and links to Mitch's book posted on the blog, themarketingspotblog.com. And while Mitch answered the why question and was a little reluctant to tell you what you should do, I'm more than happy to do so. So I'll post a link to an article I wrote earlier this year called Social Media, What to Do for Your Business. Many thanks to Mitch for taking the time to be with us today. I highly recommend listening to Mitch's podcast, which I will also link to in the show notes. That's it for episode number 36. The next episode should be fun. A new feature I'm calling the Marketers Roundtable. Some of my favorite marketers will join me for an open discussion on hot small business marketing topics. And if you're listening to this show anywhere but iTunes, hey, make it easy for yourself. Subscribe to us in iTunes. That way, you'll never miss an episode of the Internet Show that's all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arrett, the Internet Show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspotblog.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the Internet Show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.